at least maybe 6 weeks away from John. We kind of took a detour off. We've been preaching through the book of John. And we're going to get back there this morning. John chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 16 through 21 this morning. I'll read those in a moment. But also, if you want to mark your place, if you want to find Matthew chapter 14, you could stick a bookmark in there and find Matthew 14, Mark chapter 6. Matthew 14, Mark chapter 6. Our primary passage is going to be in John chapter 6. But we're going to look back and forth. Listen, if you're studying in the Gospels, you're going to have to look back and forth or you're going to miss something. Okay, so they're not all inclusive, each of the Gospels. So sometimes there's the parallel Gospels. You want to reference other writers to see what they had to say because there's added depth and context to our Scripture. So we're going to look at that this morning. But I want us to have a word of prayer as we go into this, and I want us to pray for Lynn's mother. So y'all join me in this. Father, I pray that right now as we turn to your Word, that you will use your Word in our hearts and lives this morning. Lord, some need this morning to be encouraged. Some need to be convicted. Some need to be challenged. Some need to be corrected. Lord, there's whatever the need is in our hearts this morning, I pray that it wouldn't matter what I preach. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will use the Word of God to touch the hearts of your people. And so whatever we need, Lord, I pray that we'll come right now humbly before your Word, and we would just say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, work in me. Work in my heart today. May I hear from you, and then, Lord, as we humble ourselves before your Word and hear from you, I pray that then we would be obedient to respond to what it is you're wanting to do in our lives. So that humility of receiving should be followed by humility of obeying. So help us to do that this morning, Lord. And again, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, they've never been born again. They've not been saved from their sin. They've never been redeemed. And maybe I'm not even sure what those terms mean as you're saying this, Pastor. I pray, God, if that be the case for anyone here, today would be the day that they would respond to you and say, I don't have what you're speaking of, and today I need to be saved. God, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts. And today would be a day of salvation. Father, we do pray for Lynn Ramsey's mother. We don't know the situation. We just know she's in the hospital. But, Father, I know that you're there. You're aware of everything. And, Lord, we just pray that your will would be done in this situation and that you'll be glorified. I pray that you'll just give peace and comfort right now to Miss Lynn. And I know it's very troubling. So be with her, Lord, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, looking at John chapter 6, verse 16. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. That's our passage this morning, and we're going to see the real miracle we see here is Jesus walking on the water. But we're going to look at several. There are 5 things I want to share with you this morning. And really, this kind of, I guess there's someone who needs to hear this because this is kind of a parallel message to what I preached last week as we dealt with dealing with the problems in life that we face, the struggles in life that we face. And this really is a parallel message to that. And obviously, the Lord said that we didn't get enough of it. We need to hear some more. And so he wants to give us some more instruction on this. So first point is this, as we look at this passage, is to understand this. So I want you to understand this. I'm not here by mistake. Now let me just preface it with this. I can do some dumb things. You know, it's easy for me to mess up and get out of the Lord's will. But if I am walking with God, wherever I am, if I'm walking with Him, if I'm being obedient to Him, then wherever I am, I'm not there by mistake. And I want you to understand that this morning. Look again at verse 16. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Now here's why it's important that you read the parallel Gospels, because if you just read John, you would get the idea that they had maybe gotten out of God's will right here. He doesn't explicitly say Jesus had sent them away. He doesn't say that here in John. It says they went down to the sea. It's getting dark. They got in a boat, and Jesus hasn't come yet, so they take off. It sounds like they got in a boat on their own volition and went across the waters of their own deciding there, their own decision-making. So it'd be easy to assume that the disciples were out of his will if we don't read the parallel Gospels. Now, if we go without the Lord's leading or his guidance, we can absolutely expect the storms to rage in our life. Amen?
Amen?
Look, there's no one better at messing up my life than me. Who can mess up my life? This guy. You know, that's kind of that thing. There's nobody can do it better than me of messing up my life. When I do things in my own wisdom and I ignore the wisdom, the guidance, and the direction of the Scriptures, I'm going to end up in a storm in life. And it's a storm that I've brought and I've created. I've gotten into it because of my own wisdom. I want to follow my wisdom. I want to be the boss. But then I tend to, when I run into that, what's the first thing I do? Lord, help me. You know, he's like, hey, you didn't want my help getting into this mess, but all of a sudden you want my help getting out of this mess. That's how we are, right? And the Lord is faithful to help us in that. But that's how I mess up life. But that's not what happened here. That's not the case here. If you looked at Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 tells us, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So the Lord made the disciples get in the boat. He sent them away. That's what happens right here. Now, why doesn't John record that? Well, because John was the last of the Gospels written. He didn't need to include every detail. The disciples, those who were followers of Christ, already had Matthew. They've got Mark. They've got the story. He knows I don't have to give every detail here. There's particular things John's wanting us to get, and so he's much more concise in some of his language. But we understand from Matthew that it is Jesus who sent them away. Jesus made. He made them. So I don't know, when it says made, when I hear that, it's like my kids. You know, I had to make them go to bed. I had to make them go into their classes. I have to make them do some things. Those are some prompting there. Maybe they didn't want to go without him. Maybe they didn't want to get in the boat and go. Maybe they wanted to stay with him on the coast. I don't know what it was, but he made them go while he sent the multitude away. So they fed their, this is after the feeding of the 5,000. He sends the multitudes away. And so, did Jesus know that the storm was coming? I think absolutely. I think, you know, we have to believe he knew the storm was coming. I mean, he's God. He had knowledge of things. We don't know what all that had been revealed. We don't know if Jesus knew everything or he knew as God revealed. But I have to certainly believe, based upon the context of the story and everything we see, even through the other Gospels of this story, it would absolutely appear that he knew the storm was coming. So I certainly believe he knew the storm was coming. Yet he still sent the disciples onto the water knowing that it was coming. Wow. So Jesus sent his disciples out there onto the sea knowing that there would be a storm coming? Yes. Well, why would he do it? Doesn't he love us? Why would he send us into that? Well, I hope we'll see that as we go through this message and we'll understand this. So then the next question might be, were they in his will? Were the disciples in the will of God? Well, absolutely they were. They had been obedient to his command and his direction. He sent them away. He made them go. They obeyed what he told. Maybe they didn't want to go, like I said. But they did. They obeyed him. So they're in obedience. They are right where he wants them to be at this moment in time. And they are doing what he's told them to do. So they are following him obediently, and they're going across the sea. Now remember, there are different storms in life. There are three storms in life that we'll focus on right here. First is this, there are storms of correction. And that's when God disciplines us, okay? So there's times when the Lord has to discipline us. Those are storms in life that he'll bring in our life to bring correction, to get us back in the right place. Then there's storms of perfection, when the Lord is growing and teaching us through the storm. And then sometimes there are just storms. And people don't understand that sometimes. Sometimes we want to over-spiritualize things. But look, the Scriptures make it clear. Matthew 5:45 says, "For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Sometimes we get rained on because everybody's getting rained on. Okay? But here's the deal, and I'll get to this, but here's the deal. God's in it. He's going to use it regardless of whether it's correction, perfection, or we're just caught in a rainstorm. God's going to use it for our good and for His glory. Now, Jonah, if you understand that, remember the story of Jonah. Jonah was in the storm because he disobeyed God. He did his own thing. He's running from God, and God sends a storm to correct him. And so there's a storm. The storm that he faces is because he disobeyed God. The disciples were in the storm because they obeyed God. They obeyed Him, and they're in a storm. And listen, if your eyes are in the wrong place, your heart's in the wrong place, it'll be easy to get mad at God at that moment and go, why didn't You take care of me? Why didn't You protect me? Why would You let this happen to me? I love You, God, more than anybody else. I'm so faithful to You. I do this, this, and this for You, Lord. Why? That's when we got to keep our heart right, and we have to learn to trust God. Now, I've heard this said all my life. And be honest, I've said it myself. I've said this, it's safer in the will of God than anywhere else. You ever heard that? We've heard that, right? The safest place to be is in the will of God. You know, it's safer so-and-so than there than here. Can I tell you that that's not, just not true? I've come to the understanding that that's not true, and I want you to understand why that's not true. See, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be in the will of God, but that being in His will is no guarantee of safety. Right? There's no guarantee of safety the way we view safety. Now, as a child of God, if He strikes me dead right now, there still was no safer place to be in the eternal picture because I'm His. Whatever happens to me, I'm His. I'm going to be with Him. We know that. But in the earthly perspective that we typically look at things, I've heard it said, you know, there's no safer place to be. You'll be safer in Timbuktu than you will be here. If you're outside of God's will, if you go and it's His will for you to go, there's no safer place to be than Timbuktu. That may not be the case. And yet, I'd say this, there's absolutely no better place to be than in the middle of God's will. It may not be the safest place. Now, tell Charlie Kirk, if you think there's no safer place to be than in the will of God. Because I just don't think Charlie Kirk was out of the will of God. I think Charlie Kirk was doing exactly what God had called him to do. And I don't know what was going on in his life at the time, but God allowed that in his life. He allowed a storm, and Charlie Kirk went this quick from this earth to eternity and in the presence of God. Tell that to the Christians in Nigeria. According to an April 2023 report by the International Society of Civil Liberties and Rule of Law, at least 52,250 persecuted Christians have been killed in the past 14 years simply for the crime of being Christian. Now, that's in April of 2023. There's hundreds being killed. There was just the other day, I think there was 25, 30, 35 people who were just massacred. 125,000 that have been killed. I'm talking about just the other day, it was a church, they went into a village, they killed, it may have been as many as 50 in that village just at that time. Went in with machetes, they're killing them, just bodies everywhere, they burned the church down. This is all the Islamic terrorists. Tens of thousands, 150,000, if that's the correct number, over the last decade or so. 125. In Nigeria alone?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell them about how safe it is to be in the middle of God's will. January 1956 in Ecuador, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Pete Fleming, Ed McCulley, and Roger Udarian, they were murdered by the Aka Indians. The very people God called them there to minister to rose up and killed them. Now, was that the safest place for them to be? It wasn't the safest place from a worldly perspective. Because they gave their lives to do that. Now, when we look back on that, it's amazing to see because that entire group of people, almost the entire group of people, the Aka Indians turned to Christ. Jim Elliott's wife went back in there and ministered to them for years, lived among those people. But they were obeying God's call. They were going where He sent them. And so we got to understand that being in God's will doesn't equate to safety. It may not mean that we're going to be safe. If you want, there is no safe place, right? Jesus is testing the disciples here. We should never judge our safety or security by our circumstances. Many Christians believe that if I am obedient to God, then my life will be smooth sailing. And folks, that's just not biblical. In this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus told us that in John 16, 33. When we are in His will and find ourselves in a storm, we just have to remember that He brought me here. He knows where I am. God sent them into this storm. Okay? So we understand that. Understand this. I'm not here by mistake. Number two, know this. He is interceding for me. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And when He had sent the multitudes away, so Jesus goes, He sends the multitude away. He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Brothers and sisters, if the Lord Jesus thought prayer was important enough to make the time to get away to pray, to go to a designated location alone to pray, shouldn't we make prayer a priority in our lives every day? If He made it a priority, if it was that important to God Himself in human flesh, I think it ought to be a huge priority for us every day. Find a place, find a time that you commit to prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to God, get alone with Him. And the verse continues there. Now, when evening came, He was alone there. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And what a picture this is of the church today. We're here, we're in the storms of life, things are raging in each of our lives, and He is making intercession for us to the Father. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. What is Jesus doing right now? He is interceding for us. He knows what we're going through. He sees that. He knows. And He's talking to the Father on our behalf. He's interceding for us. Mark 6:48. Then He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, He saw them in the storm. He's on a mountaintop. He's up there. Now, He had a great view from up there. But if there's a storm raging, let me just tell you, it's not like it's a clear day and He could see 3 or 4 miles out into the sea if there's a storm raging. You ever come down the interstate and you can see ahead where the rain is? Right, because you go from it's clear, 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 and then all of a sudden right here there's this just sheet because you can't see anymore. You just see gray. You know, there's rain there. And so it's coming. We can't see. Our earthly eyes can't see. They couldn't see Him. They couldn't see Him. But here's what He's doing. He saw them. He saw them in the storm. He looks through that rain like it's nothing. I mean, He sees in the dark, right? God sees in the dark. He sees like the light. There's no light or dark with Him. If they turn the light, I come in here sometimes on Wednesday nights and I turn all the lights out. I have to get my phone out so I don't walk into pews because it's pitch dark in here and I'm a little scared, you know, so I get my light out so I can see my way through. He doesn't need that. He sees them. He's praying for them. He saw them in a storm, you know, He sees it. It's hard for us to see a few feet in front of our face, and yet God sees clearly everything, and He saw them. The Lord saw them miles away. He saw them clear through the storm, and the storms of life do not prevent Him from seeing clearly everything that we're going through. That's what you've got to remember. He sees this, and He's praying for us. He's interceding. He's talking to God the Father. He sees clearly what's going on in our life, and He's talking to God the Father for us. Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's there. He knows what's going on. Hebrews 13:5, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with us, folks. So casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for us. We know God cares for us. We know that He cares, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. He knows everything in your life. And yet sometimes we act like, God, are you even there? He is there. He's with us. He never leaves us. And He's right there with the Father making intercession for us. When we're in a storm and the lightning is flashing and thunder's booming, the waves are crashing, the wind is howling, and we feel all alone and it feels like everything is going to crumble around us, we just have to remember they were never, listen, the disciples as we see them, and they're in the midst of that storm, they were never out of his sight, they were never out of his thoughts, they were never out of his prayers, nor out of his care. And neither are we. We're never out of his care. We're never out of his sight. We're never out of his thoughts. We're never out of his prayers. We're never out of his care. So understand this. I'm not here by mistake. Know this. He is interceding for me. Number three here is remember this. Jesus is always right on time. We want him early. We want him early. We want him to show up before there's a problem and make sure there is no problem. Folks, the only problem with that is that's not how God works in our life. Jesus always is always right on time. John 6:19. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. And they were afraid. Now, look, you read that and you think, well, they saw Jesus and knew it was Jesus. You got to understand, they didn't know it was Jesus. If you go and, again, you read the parallel Gospels, they saw something coming. John just says they saw Jesus because he's stating the fact that it was Jesus that was walking to them on the water. But they see Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. And they see something walking on the water, drawing near to the boat. And they're fearful. They're in a storm. The storm's raging. And here's coming something coming across the waves at them. Imagine that. And he speaks to them and says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." You know, when we're going through a storm, it's easy for us to feel like God has deserted us. Amen? If we're honest, anybody ever felt that way? If we're honest, you just wonder, I mean, honestly, we wonder, God, where are you? I feel like you're not here. I feel like I'm on my own out here. I'm by myself. And we can get there. Mark 4:38, the disciples even felt that way, and Jesus was in the boat with them. In Mark 4:38, it says, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Again, they're on a boat, the storm's raging, and where's he? Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. He's asleep. Well, they should have known if Jesus is asleep, everything's all right. So if he ain't up worried, everything must be okay. They didn't understand that. He's asleep on a pillow, and they wake him. They awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Isn't that what we say? God, don't you care what I'm going through right now? Do you not even care that I'm having it so rough? Joe, when y'all were so sick last week, it'd be easy to go, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish? We're all dying here, and we feel like we're getting no help." We gotta feel that way sometimes. And the disciples felt that. God, do you not even care? Even Paul felt despair. He said, "We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul had those situations where, man, they just felt like, we're not going to make it. We're just not going to get through this. Jesus doesn't always come when we think he should. He doesn't come when we think he should. He knows when we need him most, and his timing is always perfect. He is teaching the disciples here. He waited until all human hope was gone. I really believe it was at a point where, I mean, some of these guys obviously were not fishermen. They weren't familiar with the boat. They would have been latched on really tight. But all of the guys were latched on tight to that boat. Even those, Peter and the guys, who were fishermen. I don't know, any of you ever ride by the Lake Monroe? You know, somebody was telling me, I think Marvin was telling me this, that Lake Monroe is a shallow lake, so it's really affected really easily by the wind. And so you just have a little bit of a breeze, and it'll get kind of rough and choppy. Well, the Sea of Galilee is not a big body of water. I'm sure it's a little deeper, but that body of water, the way the wind blows and the way the air flows in there, the storms can rage on that sea. I haven't been there when that happened, but I've heard talk. Even today, they talk about how violent it can become on that sea. And so they've gotten to a place where this storm is raging, and Jesus waits till these guys are like, "Ah, this is it. This is it. We're done. This is it. The boat's never going to survive this. We're going to die right here. It's almost a point of hopelessness. All hope is gone. So there's no props left. There's nothing they could do to fix their situation. Isn't that what we like? We think we've got it. Heard somebody say, I heard a clip, and the guy said, three words that men say, the three worst words that a man can say, I've got this. And that's where men live. I've got this. Well, Jesus waited till they got past the I've got this to I ain't got this. And that's where they were. Nothing they could do to fix their problem, their situation. He was their last and their only hope. So why did Jesus walk on water? There's a lot of ways he could have gotten to them. I think he could have just showed up. He could have just popped on the boat and been there with them. But he walks on the water. And he was showing them, and not only them, he's showing us that the problems that we face, the storms that we allow to frighten us, the troubles that seem insurmountable are nothing more than stepping stones for him. Jesus walks on the tops of the storm. He's just walking on the water. See, our worst problems are under his feet. He's just above it all. It's just not a problem. And so he walks on the water. We fear the storms in life. We fear sickness and surgeries and death and financial trials and hurricanes and viruses and war and terrorism and legal issues and family problems and on and on and on and on and on. And we've got all these fears, these things in life. But we find that it's often these experiences that bring Jesus closer to us. Or if I'm going to better state it or properly state it, it brings us closer to him. Because the Lord never leaves us and never forsakes us. The problem is we turn from him, we leave him, we forsake him. We turn from him and we walk away. And then when we change that mind, like the prodigal son, when we come to ourselves and realize I'm trying to do this on my own and I can't, and we turn, here's what happens when you turn back to Jesus. You know what happens? You ever been in kind of a crowd and you go to turn and there's somebody, I'm like, dude, you're crowding me. You know, somebody's like right on you. That's what it is, because Jesus is right there. He's just waiting for you to turn. When you turn, boom, there he is. He's right there. I'm going right here. I'm right here. I'm here. Calm down. I'm here. I got this. It brings us, these storms in life bring us closer to the Lord. How many of you could testify that, you know, I've asked this before, but our greatest growth comes in those difficult times. Our greatest growth comes in those times of challenges, those times where we go, man, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this. And then the Lord shows us how we're going to get through it, and it's through him. It's with him. It's him walking with us that we get through the storm. And that's when we grow. We don't grow when everything's just wonderful. You know, we think, the valleys, you know, the valleys. We like the mountaintop peaks, you know. We want those highs in life, the conference highs, the revival highs. We like all of that. But have you ever noticed there ain't much growing up on top of the mountain? Growth's in the valley. That's where the soil is rich. That's where growth comes, is in the valleys. And that's the way God works in our life. He's always right on time. He never leaves us. It is we that leave him, and it's the storms then that bring us closer to him. So another question that comes up here is, why didn't they recognize Jesus right away? Why was it that they see John says they saw Jesus, but the other Gospels make it clear they didn't know it was Jesus. They saw something coming on the water. Why didn't they recognize that that was Jesus? Why didn't they know right away? To put it simple, because they weren't looking for Jesus. The problem was they weren't looking for Jesus. If they were looking for Jesus, it would have been easy. If they had been going, hey, Jesus, man, we're in a bad situation. Jesus is going to show up any moment. He's going to come. He'll be here. They would have been looking. They would have been expecting, because they should have known the heart of Jesus, that he was going to watch out for them and he would be there. And they're looking around. They would have said, oh, there he comes. That's got to be him. What else will be coming? It's got to be Jesus. That's not what happened. See, he wasn't visible to them in the storm, though he saw them, and he was praying for them, and he was coming to them. But here's the problem. They were focused on the storm. They weren't focused on Jesus. They weren't looking at Jesus. They were looking at the storm. We do the same thing. Well, I'm trusting the Lord. And yet all we can think about, all we can talk about is this test result that's coming ahead of us. That's all. I'm trusting God, but I'm eat up with fear because all I can do is I'm consumed with the storm. My eyes are on the storm. And you know, I've shared this before, but you know what happens when we stare at the storm? The storm just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know what happens when we're staring at the storm and it's getting bigger and we're not looking at God? God in our minds gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. See, we're not looking to God. We're looking to the storm. We're looking at that storm that the Lord just walks on the top of it. And yet as we focus, He gets smaller and the storm gets bigger because our focus is in the wrong place. They're focused on the storm. They're not looking for the Savior or at the Savior or even to the Savior. And so, folks, we must keep our eyes on Jesus and know that He is with us. Keep your eyes on Christ. When you're going through a storm, don't get your eyes off of Christ onto the storm. Keep your eyes on Christ. Look for Him in the midst of the storm because I promise you, He's there. Number four, embrace this. He will use this to grow me. He will use this to grow me. John 6:21. Then they willingly received Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at that land where they were going. Now, I could say this about that. When He got in the boat, doesn't time fly when things are going real easy and going good? Time seems to fly by when things are going really good. It's when bad stuff's going on, man. When having a hard day, the day just drags on, right? But you have a great day. You go to the beach, the day flies by. You're having problems. You go to the hospital, it creeps by, doesn't it, Marvin? It just takes forever. Everything takes forever. It just goes forever. So it's interesting when Jesus got in the boat with them and everything calmed down, boom, just like that, they were at the beach. They were at the coast. They were where they were going. I don't know if they literally just, boom, and they were there, or if in John's mind it was like, you know what, when Jesus got in there, we were so excited to be with Him, we lost track of time totally. I mean, just it seemed like instantly we were there. I don't know which it is there, but either way, that's the way in our minds, the way it feels when things are going great. Matthew 14:32 says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And that's they talking about Peter and Jesus. They got in the boat. They walked back to the boat after Peter had gotten out and walked on water. And they come back. The wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. This was the whole purpose of the storm. And this is how God uses storms in our life, because now they're worshiping the Lord Jesus. They're worshiping Him. Truly, You are the Son of God. The Lord was teaching them to trust Him, even when He wasn't physically present. See, before He was on the boat, they're in a storm, they didn't trust then. Cares thou not that we perish? And they marveled when he calmed the storm. You know, but here's what He's trying to do, especially when they didn't see Him. He wanted them to learn to trust Him. We can't always see what God is doing, can we? And so that's why we tend to go, Lord, are You there? Because we can't see what He's doing. We don't understand. We don't have the wisdom of God. We don't know what He's doing. Sometimes we can't see His hand in it because we don't have the wisdom to see that. We have to learn to trust Him in the storm. They had experienced great storms in their ministries in the days to come, and Jesus was teaching them to depend only on Him and trust only in Him. Back in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27, that was when the Lord was on the boat and He calmed the storm and the waves. And it says that after He calmed the storm, it says they marveled. They marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the wave obey Him? Now, this is His disciples. And what they did was they marveled at what He did. They marveled. But now they worship. And they say, truly, You are the Son of God. They are growing in their faith. They're growing in their understanding of who God is, of who Jesus Christ is. They were growing. The Lord was teaching them through the storms of life. He wants to teach us through the storms of life also. And we must learn to embrace Him for who He is. the Son of God. That's what he's working. He wants us to know who he is and to embrace him that way and to worship him that way. Number five, and we'll be done. Pastor Aaron, if y'all want to come. Number five, trust this, that he will see me through. Now, I say that, we've already talked about it, it's not being in the will of God is not always the safest place. And when I say he will see me through, it may be that he sees me from life here to life eternal, right? But he's going to see me through. Understand that. I'm either going to come safely through it on this. We talk about healing. We pray for someone's healing. We pray for a believer's healing. Here's what I know. God will answer that prayer because he's going to heal that person. He will either heal them here or he'll heal them in eternity. But he's going to heal them. And we don't know what his will is, and we trust him in that. But here's what we do. We've got to trust him in this, that he's going to see me through. If Jesus says go, we should If he says come, we should come. If he says stay, we should
stay.
If he says wait, we should
wait.
Exactly. Whatever God says, that's what we should do. Whatever he tells us to do, that's what we should do. We shouldn't, you know, I'm trying to discern the will of God, and I think we ought to go do this, but I'm not sure, and I ask 50 people, and they all said, hey, if God said don't go, you shouldn't go. But I think we should go. So the 51st person says, I think you ought to go. Well, praise God, that's confirmation I'm supposed to go. We function that way. I see it all the time. We do surveys till someone confirms what it is we want to do, and we use that as confirmation that God has spoken and said that's what I'm supposed to do. No. I listen to the Lord. I listen through his word. I listen through counsel. I listen to the Spirit of God speaking to me. I looked at circumstances. All that, you got to weigh. If God says stop, you stop. If he says go, you go. Whatever it is he tells us, we do. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of circumstances. I'm sorry, believing in spite of consequences. So regardless of what might happen, I'm going to trust God. And in spite of evidence, I don't have to have evidence. I got to know I'm going to be safe. Well, you can't know that. You can't know that worldly sense you're going to be safe. You can know God's got you, his hands on you. He's going to take you right through this. He will see you through. If we embrace that, you know, I go back to Charlie Kirk again. Charlie Kirk had a whole lot of life threats against his life. There were threats all the time against him. Now, I don't know that I would have gone back out in those public forums like that. I don't know that I've got that type of courage, but that man had that type of courage. He trusted God in that way. And some in a worldly perspective would go, well, I can't believe it. I thought it was crazy he would do that. I don't think it was crazy he did that. I think he was doing what God told him to do. He was courageous in what he did. I don't know if I have that kind of courage, but God hadn't called me to do that in that way at this point. Whatever God calls me to do, I need to do. Amen. Obediently to do it. So he's going to see us through. So when you meet a storm in life, and we're all going to face storms in life, remember this. Remember, I'm not here by mistake. He is interceding for me. The Lord is always right on time. He will help me to grow, and the Lord will see me through. Amen. Remember these things as we go into storms in life. And let God use it in your life to mold you and make you and shape you into what he wants you to be so he can use you to do what it is he wants you to do. Father God, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for, you give us so much, even in these few verses, things that help us. Because, Lord, we go through storms. And it's a different storm that they went through, but it's a storm nonetheless. And the principles are the same. Lord, you're praying for us. You see every situation, every need. You know what's going on in our life. You haven't left us nor forsaken us. And you're going to come. You're going to show up right on time for whatever it is. You're going to grow us. And the problems we think are so big, they're small. They're stepping stones to draw us closer to you or bring you closer to us. Lord, you use those problems in our lives to get close to us, and then you use it to grow us, to grow our faith, to help us to become more like Jesus. Lord, then help us to trust that, Lord, whatever the situation, you're going to get us through. if it's safely in this secular world that you're going to get us through that, or if it's safely taking us into the presence of God Almighty, which is far greater, Lord, help us to understand that, Lord, you're going to take us safely through. You're going to take us through this. You're going to be with us and get us through this. So, Lord, help us to remember these things as we face the storms of life and to not be discouraged by them, but, Lord, just to keep looking to you, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Father, thank you for this time this morning together. I pray that you would just speak to our hearts now. Lord, again, I pray if there's anyone this morning that doesn't know you as Savior. Lord, even right now, as we're going to sing a song here in a moment, Lord, if there's anyone here that just says, I need to talk to someone, I need to get to Jesus this morning, I pray that they would just not even be concerned with anybody else around them, but they might step up and say, Pastor, I need Jesus this morning. Would you help me? Father, move and work as only you can. Lord, as this altar is open, I pray that people would respond. If there's a need this morning, I pray they'll respond and come to this altar and just cast it upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.